May the continuing spirit of Easter permeate this gathering of the beloved community, both in person and online, as our resurrected Christ offers grace and peace to you and to me, just as he did to the disciples following that first Easter. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. Today is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and our worship team, production engineer, and especially our musicians have prepared a service in which we celebrate all that we appreciate about music by recognizing the hard work and dedication of all who actively participate in the music ministry of our church. And keep this in mind, congregation, that includes not only those who grace this chancel each week, but all of you who grace the pews each Sunday. Our choir anthem today includes all of us, so be prepared to join in as we lift our collective voices in praise to God. The Mayflower Bell Choir, the Mayflower Chancel Choir will present anthems today. Lorraine Finneson and Shannon Quinn will also present a very special bell duet. Our minister of music, Barb Fuller, will present the message today. And our liturgists are Tom Cornell and Lorraine Finneson. And now I would like to recognize four people who work diligently each week to prepare, rehearse, organize, and produce our music every Sunday. And some of these people I didn't give any advance notice. That's too bad. So I will ask Barb Fuller, Deanne McCormick. Barb, of course, is our minister of music. Deanne is our accompanist. Our worship coordinator is Lorraine Finneson. Our production engineer is Kim Finneson. I'd like to have them come forward. And we'll find a place for them to stand, maybe just down here. Go ahead and turn that mic on. The mic will be on. Don't be bashful. Well, come on down here. And Kim's coming. This doesn't wrap around my ear very tightly. There we go. Come on up here, Kim. Now, there are a lot more people than just these four, but these four work the hardest to bring music to our eyes and mostly to our ears, including those many people who listen online. So Kim is our production engineer, and he is an engineer. Trust me, folks, so much he does back there and how well it's received out there. Many of you, when you're not here, can tune in and get a wonderful production for our service. Lorraine Finneson is our worship coordinator, works hard every week in putting the order together, and Lorraine and I usually spend quite a bit of time making sure it's all good, along with Barb Fuller, our music minister, and my wife, who is our accompanist. So we typically don't offer applause in our worship service, but I think I'd like everybody that can to stand, and we'll show our appreciation. And it's wonderful to have a partner in crime up here, our minister of music, my number one staff person here, who's going to handle a lot of the duties today. You may be seated, and thank you, folks. For those new to our worship service today, we ask you to read our worship protocol and mission statement, which are printed in the bulletin. And as always, we do not pass offering plates in the service, as we want each of you to know that your presence in our service is voluntary and is a gift to God and to us. If any of you have come prepared with a financial offering, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary. And we always take a moment in the service to present the gift of ourselves to God. As per usual, we will host a coffee hour following the worship service in the Friendship Center of the church, and I hope you'll be able to join us for that. Mother's Day is behind us, so join us if you can. While the choirs of our church will not be regularly performing music beginning next week, there will be plenty of special music, including some surprise new musicians who will be performing throughout the summer in worship. And we will continue to offer the coffee hour each week, which will also include stories and presentations from some in our congregation, and that begins today when one of our members will be sharing a recent life story with us. Today's worship theme is simply music. The text is Psalm 150, one of the most musical texts in all of Scripture. Let us now worship God.
Good morning, Mayflower. On this fifth Sunday of Easter, we're celebrating Music Recognition Sunday. And we've already gotten a taste of it with the handbells. There's more to come, of course. Music, as we all know, is an important part of our lives and can be helpful for many things, including relaxation, therapy, entertainment, and inspiration. While music in worship can serve many purposes, its primary role is to enhance our ability to bring glory to God. Another purpose for this theme in worship today is to honor and recognize all the hard work of our amazing and talented musicians who rehearse, practice, and improve their skills to be able to provide beautiful music in our services of worship. And I quote, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we come today, as usual, to the gathering of the beloved community in holy worship. While there are routines which bring meaning and purpose to worship, we pray that our experience in this service would be anything but routine or usual. With the psalmist, we join our hearts with all of our wonderful musicians who inspire us to make a joyful noise to the Lord as we come to into God's presence with singing. Give us a spirit of thanksgiving as we declare God's glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all peoples. We dedicate this service of worship to you, O God, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. May we continue to worship the Lord in holy splendor. Amen.
The piece that Lorraine and Deanne and I are going to play is a Ukrainian folk song, While on the Sea. We played this for the first time in 2022, shortly after the full-scale invasion. I'm going to read a couple of the verses. While on the sea, hear the terrible roaring. See how the boat of my life rolls with me. In fear of death and in deepest of anguish, Lord, hear my prayer. Watch my soul on the sea. I have no strength left to aid on my journey. Help me to reach that fair land past the sea. Help me to travel to my native country. Lord, now I beg you, have mercy on me. So more than 3 years later, we're going to play this song again, hoping for peace in Ukraine and in all places around the world.
That are one of the natural responses to when we hear music is to applause, but in worship we're asking if you feel good about the music that's performed. You can respond with a hearty amen that might be more in keeping with a worshipful atmosphere. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a good reminder that sometimes we forget when things aren't front page in the news, but that conflict in Ukraine goes on. Thank you, Lorraine and Shannon. And thank you for your generous and faithful giving, which empowers this beloved community to be a powerful force for love, justice, and hope in the world. As we give, we echo the words of Jesus, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." May our hearts continue to lead us toward compassion, equity, and transformation. At this moment in worship, we now offer our time, our talents, our treasure, and indeed our very selves to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God of mercy and compassion, in your presence we gather again, holding the weight of the world in our hearts. We lift before you the cries of the desperate, those trapped in the crossfire of war, those who must flee violence, and those who struggle under the crushing burden of poverty. Be near to those whose homes have become battlegrounds, whose families have been torn apart, and whose future feels uncertain. We remember the people of every nation where peace feels out of reach. Bring healing where there is hatred, justice where there is oppression, and dignity where it has been denied. We pray for those who suffer in the wake of deadly storms, including many here in central Michigan, and for those who have suffered from floods, fires, and many other disasters, for those who mourn loved ones and who sift through the rubble in search of what was lost, and who face the long road of rebuilding, may they know your comfort and find strength in the compassion of others who respond with love. For the lonely and the fearful, for the displaced and the forgotten, for the ones holding on by a thread, we ask for your Spirit to surround them with your peace, your provision, and your hope. And make us, O Lord, instruments of your peace. In so doing, we ask you to stir us to action, to generosity, to advocacy, and to deep compassion. We trust in your promise that you are near to the brokenhearted, and that your love knows no borders, even as we pray for those nearest to our hearts, including those on our prayer list and those whose names we lift to you just now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And now may your Spirit of unity be with us as we pray together, as we have been taught, like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 150. The very last Psalm, 150, is a favorite of many. There is no psalm, and perhaps no scripture, which is more suited or appropriate for a day in which music is celebrated to the glory of God. Hear now these words. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'm very fortunate to be a pastor of a church who has an increasing staff. I read all the time about how churches develop and grow. And one of the essential ways that it is done is to reproduce the leadership of one person. Many churches, small churches, have had one person, a pastor, who served for years and years and years and perhaps done a wonderful job. But without the development of staff people, both volunteer and paid staff. And so I have the blessings of both. We have an army of volunteers. We have lay ministry people. We have an ordination candidate. We have a pastoral intern. We have an accompanist. We have a sexton who, if you notice today, put that one tree that went down and put it back up, trying to salvage it, and took care with a chainsaw, all of that. And that list goes on and on. And today we are going to hear from our minister of music, who not only shares her gifts in music, will bring the message today. And I heartily and enthusiastically share this pulpit with none other than our music minister, Barb Fuller.
Good morning. I'm back again, folks. Happy to be up here in front of you talking about one of my favorite subjects, music. I would be remiss if I didn't begin by talking about our Mayflower musicians and what kind of a commitment they make enhancing our worship services. What you hear from them on a Sunday morning is only the tip of the iceberg. As you might guess, we spend weeks in advance preparing a piece, and that means hours of rehearsals prior to when you hear it. I keep saying this year after year, but I can't think of any other way to express the humility I feel when I think of my choirs. These folks are what I call my peeps, and I hope that you will take a moment after church today to thank them for their loyalty and the giving of their talents. When I was growing up, I never gave music any special thought. It was always an integral part of my life. Piano lessons at an early age, so my parents could hear me playing something that made sense rather than just listening to me pounding on the piano. Youth choirs in church starting in first grade. Family holidays filled with the singing of Welsh Christmas carols. Attending handbell concerts at MSU on Sunday afternoons. Learning how to play the euphonium from my dad during the summers. The experiences went on, and yet even though and because music was always there, it just felt like a natural happening. Didn't everyone experience what I did? Perhaps it is because I am in a part of my life where I have more of it behind me than I do in front of me. I find myself spending more time on being introspective. What has led me to feel what I feel? To have the opinions that I have, to want to understand the whys and the hows. And so I come before you once again sharing a few of my thoughts regarding the appreciation of music, and in particular, how it seamlessly wraps around my spiritual life and perhaps some of yours as well. I am in need of music that would flow over my fretful feeling fingertips, over my bitter tainted trembling lips, with melody deep, deep, clear, and liquid slow. Oh, for the healing swaying old and low of some song sung to rest the tired dead. A song to fall like water on my head, and over quivering limbs, dream flushed to glow. There is a magic made by melody, a spell of rest and quiet breath and cool heart that sinks through fading colors deep to the stillness of the sea and floats forever in a moon green pool held in the arms of rhythm and of sleep. These are lyrics by Elizabeth Bishop that have been put to song by David I. Brunner. It just happens to be one of my favorite pieces, and it is a fine example of how music that is sung in my mind is auditory poetry. If you have ever heard this piece performed, you would be keenly aware of its rolling notes mimicking the text, giving you the impression of gentle waves moving forward, bringing you with them almost in a dreamlike state. Hey, that's the power of music. I love experiencing the emotions I do when I hear quiet and pensive music such as this, but I can also be deeply moved by louder music. A good example of that is the closing hymn we are going to sing this morning, "When in Our Music God is Glorified," and it just happens to be one of my favorites. If you may recall, I wrote about Fred Pratt Green, the lyricist for this hymn, in our recent newsletter. As much music as he composed, and hymns in particular, I have been taken aback by a quote from him that was published within his obituary and in which he was referring to hymn singing. And I quote, "It's such a dangerous activity. You get this glow which you can make mistake for a religious experience." I found that statement to be terribly ironic, and I tend to wonder if he made it tongue-in-cheek. That glow which he referred to is exactly what I feel when I sing the hymns that I love. And I think that one of the reasons I love them so much is because they make me feel closer to God. Isn't that a religious experience? "When in Our Music God is Glorified" is such a great piece to use on a day we are celebrating the music in our church. "When in Our Music God is Glorified and adoration leaves no room for pride, it is as though the whole creation cried, Alleluia." How often, making music, we have found a new dimension in the world of sound, as worship moved us to a more profound Alleluia. So has the church in liturgy and song, in faith and love, through centuries of wrong, borne witness to the truth in every tongue, Alleluia. And did not Jesus sing a psalm that night when utmost evil strove against the light? Then let us sing for whom he won the fight. Alleluia. Let every instrument be tuned for praise. Let all rejoice who have a voice to raise. And may God give us faith to sing always. Alleluia. I find it interesting that Fred Green referenced Jesus singing a psalm that night. This is the perfect opportunity to ask you if you have spent much time reading through the book of Psalms. I had not, I'm confessing, up until Pastor Mark suggested we use Psalm 150 as the scripture lesson today. So for those of you, like me, with some minimal knowledge, let me tell you a little bit about what I discovered in my research of the Psalms. As I understand it, the book of Psalms is comprised of lessons for relating to God in all circumstances. It contains the entire range of human emotions, from the highest points of joy and thanksgiving to the lowest points of depression and loss and everything in between. The Psalms instruct us in how to praise and thank God, and they teach us on how to grieve and speak with God boldly and directly when we are in the middle of pain and sorrow. The book of Psalms addresses how we can have a deep relationship with God. It is said that the book of Psalms takes us from our highest joy to our deepest desolation, allowing us to pour out the gamut of what we experience in our daily lives. Isn't that interesting? The music I treasure the most does that for me. The Psalms instruct us on how to worship God. They tell us that God is a good and just God, that He is a great and powerful God, and they instruct us on the importance of relying on God and His word against the wicked, among other things. And I quote, "The book of Psalms is an invitation to let our faith breathe and to praise God, not because all is necessarily well when we pray, but because God listens and answers prayer. The living God often surprises us, but never lets us down. This is the profound conviction which undergirds these ancient prayers. The wonder is that everything in human existence, from the highest joy to the deepest desolation, has a place in the Psalms." In my life, I have been the most familiar with the 23rd Psalm. When I was in second grade Sunday school at Plymouth, we had to memorize the 23rd Psalm to earn a Bible. I knew right away that I liked the 23rd Psalm, unabashedly, not for its message, unfortunately, but because I could find the book of Psalms readily by opening the Bible halfway, and there they were. Easy peasy. Pretty shallow, huh? Hey, I was in second grade. So I recall the Sunday we were to get up during the worship service and recite the psalm by heart in front of the congregation. It was a big moment for us, but apparently not big enough for me, because Mark Ammons, whom I was sitting next to, had to wake me up when it was time. I had fallen asleep on his shoulder. Fast forward about 35 years to the first time I performed John Rutter's Psalm 100 with the Arts Chorale of Greater Lansing. I had graduated from reading a psalm to singing a psalm. As far as I was concerned, that enriched my experience with it even more. Let me try to explain this piece to you. Rutter starts the music out with a feeling of, for lack of a better phrase, anticipatory frenzy. "O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise." The middle of the piece quiets down, creating a sense of calm. "Be thankful unto him and speak good of his name, for the Lord is gracious. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation." The third and final part of the composition sounds again like the first part did. It begins with a slightly frenzied sense of agitation. "O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands." And then it lets loose. "Glory be to the Father, glory be to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." Boom! It finishes with great volume and drama. I am beside myself with joy. The largest stained glass window in our sanctuary, the one behind you, was designed based on Psalm 100. You may be interested in knowing that it was partially financed by transferring the money collected by the Sunday school for the window showing Jesus and the children. I am quoting now out of the pamphlet we have describing the history of Mayflower's stained glass windows. "The remainder of the money was raised by people donating the cost of one or more pieces of glass at $7.05 a piece. Their names were recorded in a book of donors. There are 850 pieces of facet glass in this window. This means that the cost of the window was $5,992.50 in 1976. The window shows two angels flying toward a sunburst. Each angel has a trumpet. The window is based on Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord," and its title, "Jubilate Deo," means glory to God. Now, as glorious as Psalm 100 is in its celebration to the Lord, by the time we make it up to Psalm 150, we are, in six short verses, shown how and where to celebrate and praise God. And interestingly enough, nothing is mentioned about why. Remember when I was looking for the whys in my life? Not here. Just how. First, we have the trumpet. Then we add the lute and harp. Next comes the tambourine and dance, the strings and pipe, the clanging cymbals, and finally, the loud clashing cymbals. The psalm doesn't mention any reasons for praising. It just tells us how to do it. Holy cow! That final book in the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, packs a real punch that is difficult to ignore. Folks, get out there and make some noise using your voice, playing instruments, and dancing and praising the Lord. Alleluia and amen.
Okay.
guess it's time for the benediction, but there's more to come, so hang on, folks. You can be seated. Let's do what Barb says, to go into the world as we leave this place with music in our hearts, and if so inclined, may it also use our lips, even if you can't hold a tune in a basket. The Lord hears the tunes of the heart. May it be so. Go in peace. Amen. Nobody will ever accuse us of being frozen chosen. All right, folks, there's more to come. We'll dance our way into the Friendship Center, and if you have to, just dance your way out and get in the car. But when you get in the car, don't be dancing behind the wheel. Go in peace, my friends. Amen.